arrived at the 30th of March, the last Sunday of the month, and we're halfway through our Lent season and our study, and we're doing these on Wednesday evenings. We're looking at the spiritual disciplines of engagement, and it's been a neat study to look at how we engage these things, as we've looked at submission and study and worship, and now this week we're looking at this whole issue of celebration, the spiritual discipline of celebration. And so our discussion on Wednesday evening was, you know, just like, celebration has to be a discipline. And so I wanted to look at it from a new perspective for us this morning. So I'm just referring to this as a lifetime of responding to God's gifts. Life here and now, with all its intense joys, sorrows, pains, disappointments, and achievements, life forever with our Creator and Father God, Jesus, salvation, the Holy Spirit, the Word, the world, thus begins the list of God's many gifts to us. So, what deliberate choices must we make to adequately honor and show gratitude for the amazing generosity and goodness of our Heavenly Father? They're referring to celebration as a discipline, something we need to give ourselves to with intentionality, not just fall into it, oh well, when we feel like it. And so what are those things? So first of all, these few references here to this idea of gift, which is in Scripture. So in Matthew chapter 7, passage we just looked at not long ago, Matthew 7 verse 11, Jesus is talking and teaching here from still in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's giving this illustration about a son asking for bread, who would give him a stone, or if a son asked for a fish, who would give him a snake. And then Jesus says in verse 11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So this is Jesus speaking, and he's saying, it's in the heart of the Father to give gifts. He wants to give gifts. That's who he is. That's his personality. He's generous. He's good. And he loves to give good gifts. And so we're not creating something that Jesus didn't say. The heart of his Father, and Jesus knows him better than anyone, is very much toward giving gifts. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, often the other part of the verse is emphasized. The first part says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we celebrate this life this morning with communion that is made available to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we often will refer to the wages of sin is death. We really emphasize all of that. But the other part of the verse, the gift of God is eternal life. So one of the gifts we receive, one of the gifts we benefit from, is eternal life that the Father makes available to us. And then this passage that Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he said, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So this life is always and forever a gift that we have received, something that has been handed to us. And so it's the Scripture, and there are plenty of other verses as well that refer to this gift. He is the Father of lights, who gives every good and perfect gift. He loves to give gifts. He enjoys lavishing us. He is the prodigal father, the one who goes over the top. And so we are the recipients of his many, many gifts. So I just want to look at three things, how we can respond to God's gifts. First of all, actively accept, the blank there, accept or acknowledge the gifts. So not just the gift of eternal life, but then again, it's really hard to say the word just put together with eternal life, because eternal life is mind-blowing all on its own. But we need to start with accepting and acknowledging what God has done. And not just that, but everything he's given us, it all comes from his hand. Life comes from his hand. Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. And so all that we enjoy, all that life has for us, is a gift from His hand, and our job is to actively accept it. Now, I don't know with most of you, none of you are probably as old as I am, to think about the days when you had to, as children, you had to do this dreadful moral obligation, which was writing thank you notes for every gift received. Christmas, one young person is in that same category. Great. Good teaching. So, but, you know, it's really difficult. You have to sit down, you have to write a letter to your grandmother for the socks that she made for you that you don't really like, but that's not the point, your mother says. It's the thought that counts. It's really hard to explain to a child that it's the thought that counts. You know, when it's something you don't want, it's kind of like the dad who receives tie number 100, and he's thinking, I haven't worn the other 99, but, you know, thank you. And so, but we need to acknowledge, you know, and you hear all the time in these letters that come into the editor about gifts, and people send wedding gifts and they never get acknowledged. They never hear anything back. They send checks. No one ever finds out whether it ever got received or not and whatever. And so people like to have an acknowledgement of a gift that's been given. And, you know, just was recently talking to a couple who the wife had sent a birthday present to her husband's work, and he had to go down to the office to the reception and get it and bring it back, but he was really busy and it was a tough day and there were a lot of things on the go, and so it just sat on his desk all day. And meanwhile, the wife is frantically calling the delivery service, accusing them of not delivering it because she hadn't heard anything. So when the poor birthday boy arrives home at 7 o'clock in the evening, 8 hours after he had received his birthday present with no notice being given to the giver of said gift, the reception was rather chilly at home because an acknowledgement was really anticipated. No acknowledgement was forthcoming, and so the birthday celebration was somewhat dampened, shall we say. And so it is important for us to accept and acknowledge when God gives us eternal life. How much thanking is needed to adequately respond to someone who gives us eternal life? Like, when have we done saying thank you? Like, how much can you do? You know, you hear these stories of enormous effort to rescue someone. And they certainly, it was certain death if someone had not risked life and limb to come get them. And then when they're rescued and they're back home and they're safe again, what are the chances that that person who was rescued will forget the person and the circumstances that gave them life? They're not going to. They're going to remember forever. I mean, they'll almost be a member. That person will be a member of their family in some ways, because they'll never forget what was done to save them. You can't forget what someone has done. And so here's God giving us the opportunity to separate ourselves from an eternity without Him, and He sends His Son in order to provide this life, and all we have to do is actively accept what Jesus has done for us in order to receive this wonderful gift, and then begin to acknowledge what He has given to us in as we specifically said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Number two, also actively affirm or announce the gift. You know, it is nice not just accepting them, but to remind you, every once in a while you see a car driving and the bumper sticker says something like, "Thanks, Dad." And you assume this is a university student who's just gotten this Jaguar from his dad to drive around campus. It's not usually a Jaguar. But, you know, you see something like that, you kind of know. Every once in a while, you'll see one, "Thank you, Lord." I'm not sure how the Lord buys a car for you, but, you know, I guess there are times when that check will just show up in the mail and you know what that's for. And so it is nice to affirm that we've had these gifts, or to make an announcement that if you wear something that someone has given you, that's an affirmation of the gift. And the person who's given it to you is always grateful to see that you're either wearing it, using it, reading it, driving it, whatever the case may be, whatever verb goes with the gift that's been given. It's nice to know that it was received and appreciated in that sense, and so you're affirming they've given you this gift. In the light of all the things that God has given us, it's good for us to affirm it. It's good for us to make a point of affirming that gift as we walk out our days. And I think if we orient our thinking more and more toward, I am a happy little gift recipient. I mean, that's basically what we are. That's essentially who we are. We are gift recipients. We have nothing to offer God. He offers us everything in return. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. And so we have nothing to offer, and he gives it all to us. And so we're these grateful little gift recipients, and we have an opportunity of living out our lives, showing, affirming, and announcing what God has made available to us, what he's done for us, how he's blessed us, how he's stopped major disasters, how he's got us through the disasters that have happened, or how he will get us through the disaster that is over our heads at this moment. We can affirm, we can announce, because God doesn't change. And isn't it amazing? If everything is going well and according to plan, we're filled with faith and we're so excited, and the next minute there's a phone call, and all of a sudden that can all change, can't it? I mean, our circumstances just get obliterated. And, you know, unexpected things. We have a good friend who was tragically killed yesterday morning in Virginia Beach in a car accident, and she lost control of her vehicle and went headlong into another vehicle, and she died instantly, and the driver of the other truck is in critical condition. I haven't heard anything yet today whether he's made it or not, but Catherine Allen at 62 is now with Jesus. She's a happy camper, obviously, but for those of us who've been left behind, it's like, oh. So we never know when those kind of things happen, and so we want to be those who affirm, we want to be those who announce the gift of life. Isn't it in those moments that we're more conscious of the fact that we don't really know what tomorrow brings? So, you know, announcing it and living out the fact that we've been given these wonderful gifts is really an incredible thing to do. And then finally, actively appreciate the gifts, what God gives us. Be appreciative of those. Practice being grateful. Practice finding expression. Some of us, our way of responding to things, you know, our way of appreciation is kind of a. And it really, that's better than nothing, maybe, but is really not really sure whether that's a positive thing or a negative thing. And so it's really important probably to find better words than just that for our response in appreciation. But so one of the things we do on Sunday morning, whether we sing out loud or just follow along the words, and we can affirm those words in our hearts, but to at least be able to tell the Lord, this is how I feel. These are words that you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. To acknowledge that, that's worship. And that is also celebration. We're also saying, I have nothing. You give me everything. All that I have is yours. You're all I have. And that is more than enough. And so this idea of celebration, which kind of puts us into, as we were talking on Wednesday night, we say celebration, we automatically go to weddings, birthdays, births, graduations, you know, the big events, the big celebration things that we automatically think of. But life is made up of many, many, many little things to celebrate. And as one person has said something about when they get up in the morning, they're just grateful that they're up this morning. And so if we cultivate this attitude of appreciation, of gratitude, we live then in a mindset, in a heart set that is one of celebration. we don't automatically go to the negative. We think first and foremost of what has been given to us. And I think in our Western mindset, our individualism and all of that, it really does come back to, easily, it comes back to, well, it all depends on how it affects me. And so it's all, as we say, it's all about me. And so if things aren't totally lining up, they're only like 90% mine, the 10% I focus on. You know, have you ever done the thing with a sheet of paper and one little black dot on the page? What do you see, the page or the dot? The dot. You just focus on the dot. And, or the interviewee I just heard Beth was telling us about, who was being interviewed, there's a commercial, I guess, and he's being interviewed, but he has a spot on his tie, and the spot on the tie is talking louder than the interviewee. We just focus. That's what happens. And so if 90% of things are going well in our lives, there's 10% that are really kind of not quite the way we'd have them. It's so easy for us to zoom over in the 10% and pull that up on the screen, enlarge it, and that's what we focus on. Meanwhile, there's 90% over here that is really great. And so I think this thing of a lifetime of responding to God's gifts, how we live our lives day by day, moment by moment, in all our interactions, big and small, accepting the gifts, affirming the gifts, and appreciating the gifts, because every day is filled with gifts. Every day is filled with gifts. And so I think that's how we enter into this celebration of discipline, where the celebration of the discipline of celebration, I mean to say, celebration of discipline is the name of a book that Richard wrote. But this discipline of celebrating, where we choose to develop an attitude where we're thankful for the smallest things. And as we do that, God is honored, God is praised, and our hearts are kept from going into majoring on minors, majoring on the 10% that's out of whack, and really helps us to rejoice in the 90% of things that are really wonderful and fulfilling and a subject of joy for us. And so just want us to look briefly at that this morning, but I want us to come into this time of communion together with a sense that this also is celebration. And I've mentioned this before, but growing up in Canada, communion, I don't know why I had this impression, but it was the most somber, horrible experience. It was like a funeral. I never really understood that the opportunity that is ours, the freedom of coming and remembering again that Jesus did this thing, went to the cross, not so we'd feel badly for him, and not so that we'd focus on his pain, not so we'd focus on his death, but the whole thing, the whole package, his life of obedience, going and following the Father's will, even when it went against his own grain, in order to give us life. Hebrews, the author to the Hebrews says, he went to the cross despising the shame because of the joy that was set before him. He knew what he was accomplishing. And so a communion, a time of communion, when we come and we break the bread, which is this symbol of Jesus' broken body, the cup, which is the symbol of his shed blood, it's a time of celebrating, remembering again, bringing our hearts back to that place where we go, this is where life comes from. This is how I live. This is how I was given eternal life, through the sacrificial obedience of Jesus to his heavenly Father. And so it's not a funeral service. It's a time of remembering, but it needs to be a time of joyful remembering, because Jesus did it joyfully, according to the author to the Hebrews, because he knew it would be for us who are here in this room this morning, and for millions and millions of others who have received this sacrifice on their behalf and for the forgiveness of their sins. And so, if nothing else, just to know that our sins are forgiven. If this is a symbol of the forgiveness of our sins, who's not happy that their sins have been forgiven? To be forgiven is a wonderful thing. Not to be forgiven is an awful thing. And so this is a time where we realize, I have been forgiven. Jesus came and did this for me. So as we come to the Lord's table this morning, this also, I believe, is a part of the celebrating that we do. That this, we've been given these symbols to be a physical reminder of this wonderful life that is ours. And we're coming to Easter, where we'll look again at the wonderful Easter story and the resurrection. But for this morning, let's celebrate this life that's been made available to us. Let's pray together. Father, we come this morning freshly reminded that if we're here in this place and not passed out in some gutter somewhere or worse, it's because you have done this amazing thing. And you've called us up and out. You've adopted us and made us a part of something that we could not possibly have imagined. You've included us, and you've adopted us, and you've allowed us to see the smile of your favor and these mercies that are renewed every morning. Is something that we always have, day after day after day. And it's all because Jesus was obedient to this masterful plan to call us up out of sin and darkness, that we could be called into your marvelous light. And so this morning, Father, could our hearts celebrate this wonderful thing that's been made available to us? Not just going through emotions one more time, but could we sense this morning your smile as we remember you again, as you have asked us to do? That we wait on you. That our life is in you. And we owe it all to you. And so the way we say thank you is living it out. And we accept, we affirm, and we want to appreciate everything that you make available to us. And Father, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I will sing praise to your name. Father, we are so grateful. All that you make available to us, would you cause it to rise up in our hearts, bring into our consciousness, bring words into our mouths that, even if they're foreign to us, even if it doesn't sound like anything we'd normally say, give us those words, Father, just by your Spirit, just prompt those words to come so that we would have words of celebration, words of thanks, words of worship. Whether it's Monday morning or Friday evening or Saturday morning, whenever, at our lowest moments, Father, could we realize that low moments never can go lower than the fact that we have eternal life? That's our bottom line, and it's okay. So, Father, could there be words this week? Could we be those who live this lifestyle, lifetime of responding to your gifts to us? So we do thank you for that, Father. We'd love to, obviously, pray with anyone that is having a hard time with that, or if you've got a prayer need this morning, we'd love to pray with you before you head out. So see me or grab somebody along the way until you're not leaving until, because that's what we need to do. All right, thank you, and God bless you as you go.